Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. We have an extra special guest, a super guest today. Phoenix Jones. What's up, man?
What up?
Can you hear yourself in those headphones?
Unfortunately, I can.
You can. Okay. You don't have to wear them during this portion of it, but you can. That's for if somebody calls in, but I'm cool with you wearing them, by the way.
No, I'm going to take them off.
You can do whatever you want, dude. You can do whatever you want in here, man.
Dude, so we've already gotten like a ton of calls, and people, if you're calling in, thank you. But if you can wait like 30 minutes, otherwise I'm just going to have to ignore you.
Yeah, totally, totally. So, see, Phoenix, you rolled in here. You weren't late, by the way. I was told that, you know, you run a little late occasionally, and I've read on some of your, or I don't know, where I picked it up on YouTube where occasionally you'll be a little bit late. You weren't late today.
I'm always late.
What was going on today, this morning?
Oh, man, this morning I had a rough one. I got called in at like 7 o'clock. I had to go to work. I had to pick one of my kids up from the hospital who had a seizure, one of the autistic kids I work for. So I got done doing that, and I was out there for a while. And by the time I dropped him off, I didn't have time to suit up or make it back. So I had to come here, Clark Kent it out, so you get to see me in like my real gear.
You've got glasses on and everything.
The glasses actually don't do anything. They're just for style points.
Is that true?
No.
There you go, man.
Dude, that's great. Yeah, I was in the coffee shop up the street, and I asked the barista, have you know about Phoenix Jones? You know, and she said no, but then all superhero, she's like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. And everybody in the coffee shop, I know him, you know. She's like, does he really fight crime? I said, I think so, as far as I could tell. She's like, what, not just like bar fights? I'm like, well, that's kind of crime-ish. But I think there's other things going on as well from the YouTube clips I've seen. I think you're doing a hell of a job for the city. No matter what people say, you're doing good.
Thanks, man.
And that's the bottom line, I think.
You know, I think it's going to be funny because there's a lot of stuff that I do that I cannot take credit for until I retire. And the reason for that is I don't feel like dying anytime soon. There's a certain level of involvement, and once you get to it, right, there's this choice where you say, I can either take credit for this, or I can not take credit for it and probably not die. And that's a lot of what's transpired. You know, bar fights are easy to take credit for because there's two guys biting each other outside a bar. You know, we've had some guys who that turns into stabbings or shootings, or we stop some muggings like that. But the stuff that I really investigate and get super deeply involved in,
super
deeply, I can't take credit for it. Like there was a huge sex trafficking thing that happened a year and a half ago that was really, really interesting. And it's easily the best thing I've done as a superhero that no one will ever know about until I retire. Because if I take credit for it, I think people are just going to come kill me.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, seriously.
I did see, I don't know if this falls under the sex trafficking thing, but I did see a YouTube clip of you getting up in a guy's face for trying to get a blowjob off a homeless woman.
No, that's not sex trafficking. That's just douchebaggery. There's a special category for that.
Douchebaggery. She wasn't being sex trafficked. Basically, that involves underage girls, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, what it involved was a random guy downtown who was trying to bribe a homeless woman.
I mean, the sex trafficking involves.
Oh, the sex trafficking normally involves underage women or even sex slaves. It really depends. Wow. It's kind of a crazy. I didn't know Washington's one of the huge states for Washington, Oregon, California. It's just huge for that. And I had no idea. Actually, a girl from my Facebook let me know about it, and we actually went out and did some undercover work together because she was talking about the sex trade, and I basically didn't believe her. So I thought, you know, this is like a good YouTube. I'll just go follow her around. Yeah. I was wrong. None of that shit got shown on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. None of that stuff.
You're a brave soul. So you believe if you came forward with all this, people would be after you very quickly?
Very quickly. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I found a couple things interesting learning about you the last couple days. I mean, I've been aware of you. I don't know, 6 months, a year, probably. I probably was late on the ball. Real quick. Speaking of, you were talking about bringing up bar fights and whatnot. I saw you on Dr. Drew's Life Changers.
Yeah, I love that show.
Are you a Dr. Drew fan? Adam Carolla, any of those guys? Do you know?
Here's the deal. Big fan of Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Medium fan of Dr. Drew,
yeah,
but I love Celebrity Rehab. I think that show's great.
Yeah,
I think part of it's probably just that I don't do drugs. I think it's great, but I still think Celebrity Rehab is really, really awesome. I love the show.
Cool. I've seen a couple episodes. Whenever I go to my girlfriend's mother's house, she has TV, so I'll tune into that shit.
Yeah, not having TV is a good thing. My girl doesn't have TV. I had to like force her to get internet television because she doesn't have it.
I don't have TV, but I watch and look at Facebook easily 6, 7, 8 hours a day. So, you know, I make up for it.
Yeah, I don't do that.
See, people are just blowing up this thing. I'm just getting started. Hey, if anybody's listening out there, just give it a little time. Let me interview old boy here. And
man, this is awesome, though. I really respect your guys' calling in, though. I didn't think anyone actually called in, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, I've had like 4 calls.
I hope we get the haters, too. The haters are the best, you know. Is that another one? Do you want to just grab one?
Yeah, let's grab one. Screw it. Here we go. Let's see if this works. Put your headphones on.
All right, I'm on. You have a weird ring.
Caller, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Isn't this where you can call in and speak to or give a question to Mr. Phoenix Jones? Hey, do you remember me, PJ?
No.
This is Robert Frost of the Frost Review. How you doing, pal?
Yes, haters. Awesome. All right, so little backstory on this guy. He's a superhero. He's never fought any crime in his life. He's super disappointed that I'm famous. All right, ready? Go ahead. We're in.
Okay. No. That's not the thing I have a problem with. I have a problem with you blocking people because they criticize you because, sorry, big boy, this is the big world where people criticize you. If you can't learn to accept that, then you need to get off the internet.
Okay. Is there a question or is that a statement?
Yes, I do have a question.
All right, hit me.
Okay. When are you going to actually suck up and be a man and stop blocking people for criticizing you?
I'm going to debate. It's somewhere between never and absolutely never.
Okay, so Seattle's broke-ass Bruce Wayne can't suck it up and be a big boy.
Okay. I'm not sure that was a question either.
Are you going to file another cease and desist on me for criticizing you?
I'd like to see paperwork. Show me where I filed the cease and desist. I don't even know who you are.
Oh, yeah, you don't know who I am. That's why you had Richard call me up personally and threaten me.
Actually, we do have proof that that call is recorded as well, so.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm sure you guys got permission to record that if it ever took place, so.
Yeah, well, we don't need permission to document.
This is the craziest call of all time. If you guys have a question, I'm totally down to answer it. If not, you guys probably have to go back to whatever it is 17-year-olds in blue suits do.
Okay, this is my problem with you. You're such a little child. You're a fucking child. You can't take the slightest person criticizing you because your own inflated ego prevents you from doing otherwise.
Here's the deal. I think that this is important for you to get out, especially for you, because I think that you really need to hear yourself say it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat my soup, and I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to tell me everything you've wanted to tell me, and I'm actually going to listen. Then afterwards, I'm going to hang up on you.
You already know everything I want to say to you.
20 seconds starting now. Go.
I'm just going to keep calling back. You can't censor me, Jonesy Bonesy.
Really you got 20 seconds, man. You're on the shit show with Jayba.
He's got 13 left.
Okay. Tell him whatever 13, you want to tell him.
12, 11, 10, 9, 8. Your disappointment to Seattle.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Call back soon.
Was that what you call a hater?
He's kind of in the middle because he's misguided. He's actually a really cool guy. He does some interesting stuff. He wears like a blue suit and has like a Facebook page or whatever. But he doesn't actually fight any crime. And he doesn't know anything about the law. And he's like 17 years old. So he tries to give me all this advice about fighting crime, but he's never actually fought any crime. So it's sort of weird. But I think he has good intentions. You know what I mean? I just think he's an idiot.
Yeah. He didn't have a whole lot to say, to be truthful.
I let him talk, and he didn't have
anything
to say.
And I'm curious. His main point seemed to be that you've let Seattle down.
How?
I mean, I would say if you really, really wanted to like break up fights and crime, and you didn't do it, that would be letting Seattle down. But to actually get out there and do it.
I agree.
No matter what, seems like a pretty good thing.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked by it. Well, actually, I'm not shocked. That's the wrong word. I think that when people come up with accusations like that, I want them to follow them through with like legitimate explanations, you know?
So you went on Dr. Drew, and he was talking about, see, this guy keeps calling.
Is it the same guy?
I think because he said I can call back. You can't censor me, Phoenix. Okay, he's obsessed with you, on some level.
It's kind of cool. I have a super fan. It's going to be awesome until he makes a wind chime out of my genitals.
Nice. So you went on Drew, and you talk about a particular bar, outside a bar place that you broke up, a fight that you broke up, and you looked at it from the top of a parking garage.
Yeah.
How did that all go down? And then you made some heroic, like you slid down a pole to get to it.
Dude, super sketchy. You ever have that moment where you decide this is a really good idea, but in fact it's a really bad idea?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's kind of what happened to me. I'm sitting on top of this building, I'm looking down, And all of a sudden, this guy comes out of the club. This big dude just comes running out, just wow, blast this guy. And I mean, he doesn't fall down, but he gets blasted. And I look at the parking lot, and I'm on this. Have you been to Pioneer Square before, right?
Oh yeah.
You know that big triangle parking lot area that's right on the corner, right next to what do you call it, Trinity?
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm at the very corner top of that, and I would have to run all the way down to the street to Yesler, take a right, and all the way down to the bottom to get there. And I look and I just saw this light pole. And I'm like, I can do it. And I took two steps back and just jumped off this building towards this light pole, right? Only problem is my suit's rubber, so it's not super slidable. So I hit it and I'm just like,
you stopped immediately.
Just like tumbled up. It eventually pulled my legs up, so my legs were above my head, and I just kind of dropped onto my back from like 6 feet.
With the suit on, though.
Yeah, the suit on, it doesn't feel bad at all. So
that's cool.
You
know what? I'm going to mention this one guy one more time. He stopped at this point, but and I've shut off Skype, so hopefully he can't call back. But I want to hear you. See, here he goes, over and over. It's got to be him, dude. Or maybe it's somebody else. But either way.
Why don't you talk to him? Maybe you can get out what he wants. Because I'd like to get the end of this. Okay. I mean, why not, right?
I'll talk to him.
I'm just not going to say anything to him.
I'll try to, if he calls again. You're on Drew. I thought that was great. You were full on super suited out. Killer. And this guy hasn't called. See, now he's not going to call because I'm expecting him.
See, I just think that maybe if you get to the bottom of it, maybe you can figure out what he actually wants. Because I guess I want to hear what his actual criticism is, because he spends like hours commenting on my Facebook and sending me really strange photos.
He loves you.
That's kind of weird, yeah. Man. I love ladies. Especially my lady.
Purple Rain.
Yes, dude. Yes. I hope
you like
listening.
That song, Purple Rain by Prince?
I did until she named herself Purple Rain. Then it's awkward. I have random dudes singing to her on the street, Purple Rain. I'm like, dude, stop it.
When Prince hits for me, he's great. I personally think that song, nothing against your...
It's one of his worst.
Your wife. It's not a good song. They play it at my restaurant at work, and it's like, Jesus, man.
The Red Corvette.
Little That's a good one. Corvette. And Kiss and Raspberry Beret. I like that era of Prince. The mainstream, like later 80s stuff. So you're part of the Rain City superhero movement.
Yeah, me and my wife started it, yeah.
And it's when I see it, I see the word racism.
Yeah.
And I kept seeing RCSM, and I'm like, oh, it's some like political thing, racist thing, I don't know. But then I was like, oh, no, Rain City, I put it together. Was that on purpose? Or did
no.
it just come out?
No, there? Man. The worst part about it was that it's actually a media typo that we just had to kind of go with because of all the press we've had.
It's catchy.
It's actually Rain City Crime Fighting Movement. RCCM.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But the media got a hold of it, and I was on the Wall Street Journal as Rain City Superhero Movement. Then they abbreviate everything to take up, so they don't take up space. So it got abbreviated as RCSM, and then people started joining. And I had it up as Rain City Crime Fighting Movement, and no one was jumping on my Facebook page. So I changed it to RCSM, and boom, like 1,500 fans. And I was like, this sucks.
They're all so fans of racism.
Yeah, so I kind of got stuck like that. Finally, the first black superhero, and what's this group called? Racism.
You are the first black superhero.
No, there's been other... Well, it's like this. As far as real superheroes go, in the world, I'm the only real superhero, period. When the city charged me with a crime, which I was acquitted of.
It was dropped.
It was dropped, and I didn't do it, but they charged me as the superhero Phoenix Jones, making it a legal alias. So realistically, I'm the only legal superhero in the world. I can actually use it as a title, like on business cards.
Do you have a business card?
I don't, but I'm going to make some.
Okay.
Cool. I definitely am. I really want to make some that just say... To just say you've been saved, and I just give them to people after I stop them getting mugged.
Dude, that's awesome. I was thinking of ways for you to like. I would think it only work if there was more of you in town, more people like you.
There's 17.
Okay. Well, maybe this will work. You spread out. You have an app, and you can get an app for like $500 or something. Get the fans to pay for it, like the GoPro, which right. I think is totally legit.
Yeah. By the way, we're recording this on my GoPro that you guys hooked me up with right now. So I'll throw it up on the show after J-Bo releases it, because I don't want to kill the release.
Cool. Sounds good. After maybe at the same time we do the podcast out or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I was thinking of an app where they can check an app and see who is where and what part of town. You could get a lot of spam, which would be weird. And if they're in trouble. They kick you a text, or you maybe have a text or something, and then you come and respond.
I'm actually
like
working
the person
on something.
Putting up the Batman thing.
I'm calling it the Phoenix Flare, and I'm actually working on it. It's a little different than that, but it's kind of close. So how it works is you're going to download this app, right, onto your phone, the Phoenix Flare. And if you see a crime and you call 911, after you get done calling 911, you can either A, record it, or B, take still photos of the guy, right?
Okay.
You write a short definition. It's something characters like a Twitter message of how many what's the situation to take place. You either link the video or the picture, and it Phoenix flares, right?
Nice.
After the cops come and they take care of you, if you get a case number, you can also put your case number in. So then if me and my guys happen to come across that guy in transit, happen to see the dude who did it, are in the area, you know, we'll respond to the situation and come hook it up and help it out. The reason that we had to do a video and or a picture is so we don't get someone who's just like, help me. And we show up, it's like a dude in his house who's like, I'm your favorite fan. My name's Robert Frost. I think you're awesome. You know, right?
Robert Frost. You know what's funny? I think when I said he loves you, he's like, holy shit, I do. I got to stop calling. He stopped calling right after that.
Yeah. Which is funny because that's right when we agreed to let him talk.
Well, I agreed to tell him to stop calling. That's what I was going to do. But the funny thing is, I you know, after a little, I will start answering again. Yeah. Folks, thank you.
Feel free to call back people who are not Robert Frost.
But let's just give it a little bit. I want to talk to this guy. So I found something interesting, what you said. You know, some fairly condescending Good Morning America host was questioning you. And she's just like, why would, you know, she had asked some pretty obvious questions like, why do you need the suits? Do you have jobs? Do you dress up at home? I don't know. It seemed condescending to me, but
it was. Robert Givens is not very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. You were saying interesting thing. I thought interesting philosophy on why you do what you do or how you get people to respond. You get insert yourself into a situation, and cops will see you because you're very visible in your suit,
right,
and know that situations with you tend to escalate.
Right.
And so they insert themselves. So in essence, and if you're talking to a drug dealer, for instance, they roll in, they're going to search both of you, and they're fine to search you.
Because I got nothing on.
All you got is some stab-proof armor under your super suit, and somebody might have drugs on them. So that's interesting. You just hang around with a drug guy long enough, a cop's going to roll over, and...
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is that cops have this thing called like a Terry step, right, where they can stop you and basically pat you down for a suspicious cause. Only if you're actually doing something suspicious, though, right? But there's nothing more suspicious than getting in an argument with a self-proclaimed superhero. And the cop steps out of the car. He can smell rubber injustice in the air. He, like, rolls over, and he's like, I'm patting both you guys down.
I love the smell of rubber injustice in the morning.
I can't even tell you how many situations like that we've solved where cops just pat us down and find, you know, anywhere from guns to knives to all kinds of different types of drugs. It's crazy because we're basically walking probable cause, you know?
Keep talking about that, man. I'm sorry. I want to make sure our levels are okay.
Yeah, no problem. Sounds good to me. I mean, I can hear myself. But yeah, so that's something. If you actually want to look that up on YouTube, there's one, Phoenix Jones gets a heroin dealer off the street. And it's a YouTube video where that pretty much happens, where we're arguing with this drug dealer who tried to sell drugs to my undercover guy, when all of a sudden a bunch of cops roll in super deep because they got a call that this guy in a spawn suit is getting in a fight with somebody. And it was really funny, and they ended up finding the drugs and arresting the guy.
Guy in a spawn suit.
They thought I was in a spawn suit back then. They didn't know.
Oh.
There's some great 9-1-1
calls,
too. Oh,
sorry, you're the guy in the spawn suit.
Yeah, see, we don't even register because it's like, that's not a spawn suit. But yeah, there's some really good 9-1-1 calls, too, on YouTube. If you type in Phoenix Jones 9-1-1 call, there's some great ones that have been released by the city during my trial. And some people are calling me like, yeah, he's dressed like Batman, but he's black, I think. And he's very angry. And there's a guy breaking into a car. We need you right away. It's really funny.
Okay, so we'll get to the trial. I've heard a bit about this. Let me try to recap. I seen the tape. Somebody yells, there's a big fight going on. Yeah. They're in a parking garage. They're under the overpass down there.
The viaduct, yeah.
The viaduct, yeah. And you roll down, and I don't see exactly what happens. I think there was pepper spray used. In the end, a woman is chasing you around with a shoe.
Yeah.
Trying to hit you. You got arrested for that, for pepper spraying, in a sense. And
it was pretty funny.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think what happens is my camera guy's like, hey, there's a fight. So yeah. I take off, you know, like super black work speed. I'm running in there, telling him to break it up. I yell back to my 911 guy to call 911. Yeah. He's on the phone with the cops. I run in to break the fight up. There's a guy on the ground who's getting kicked in the face. So I roll in. I immediately shove a guy off, and he comes out like he's going to swing at me. And I pop him in the face with my pepper spray. And an important thing to note about my pepper spray is it has orange dye in it. And like the same light you use to check your ID, if you spray it on the person, if you light the person's face, their face will glow with colors. It's sort of a marking dye for my pepper spray.
Is that something like they made specially for you, or is
no?
That,
it's a company that does it for police officers and other things, so they can catch suspects after they've wiped the pepper spray off.
It's pretty brilliant.
Stays on there for a while. No, it's great. And so I spray that guy. Then
you roll up and there was somebody getting kicked on the ground.
Yeah, actually, there's an enhanced video of it online. We figured a way to enhance it. So if you type in proof Phoenix Jones didn't commit a crime, or pepper spray proof, on YouTube, there's actually an enhanced video that comes up, and you can see the guy getting blasted as I run in. The prosecution didn't like that one very much. Then the girl who comes running over and hitting me with the shoe, she's screaming, "You sprayed my boyfriend," but not that I sprayed her.
Right, right, right.
Which was also very interesting. Then they hop into a car and hit and run the victim. I don't know if you guys see it, but there's a part where a guy gets blasted with the side of a car. Anyway, flips up in the air. Then they try to run me over with an SUV. So at the end of the incident, the cops come over, and I'm telling them about the dye in my pepper spray, and they're not believing me. It's really frustrating. But we look back, and my guy Ryan, who's the camera guy, starts shining lights on people's faces, and only four faces light up, and the girls aren't part of their faces. The girls were not treated for pepper spray.
Right, there was understood.
No incident where any of them had actually ever got sprayed.
I didn't see you using the pepper spray in the video. It's kind of from a distance, but...
The only thing I do with the pepper spray is I treat pepper spray just like I treat anything else, like a marksmanship weapon. I've hollowed the... we got a call there. I've hollowed the tip out so it's a lot skinnier, so it shoots a lot straighter, and I'm able to actually literally lift it up and shoot 20 feet and just nail faces. So
you're good at it.
Oh, yeah, I practice a lot. Because you don't want to hit bystanders. It's something I really pride myself in, yeah, is not hitting bystanders. And to this day, I really haven't. The only incident where we've hit bystanders, where my team has hit bystanders, Midnight Jack at the riots was getting hit with a pole with a knife, or I guess a nail sticking out of it.
Midnight Jack, is he one of the RCSM?
Yeah, he's one of the super guys. And he pulls out his pepper spray and hit like, I don't know, like 10 or 11 anarchist protesters who ran back into the crowd together and created like a wave of like... air and pulled pepper spray into the crowd. That's one time.
Yeah. I see.
But it was because their energy all went back into the crowd and was like, yeah, sucking pepper spray into the crowd. So.
And a couple people got dosed. Did they report you or anything like that?
They came up and they were like, "Yo, you pepper sprayed us." And we were like, "Here's a disinfectant wipe. We're super sorry." And they basically just walked it off.
I like that we're super sorry.
I lose super a lot.
Yeah.
and it was funny because they were sitting there thinking, well, we were in a crowd of anarchists breaking the building. They weren't exactly mad about it. They figured out how we got there, you know?
What building were they breaking?
The federal building.
Oh, wow.
They were down there rioting in front of the federal building, throwing rocks and sticks and like little explosive bombs and stuff in front of the building. It was crazy.
Yeah, they need to go back to their tents and their dogs.
You know what I can't figure out about anarchism is like, if you don't like anything, right, then how are you together at a scheduled march that you used Facebook to co-op, that you allow police to march at you with? It's the reverse of anarchism to me. Like, anarchism is where you're just walking around and all of a sudden you see a stick and you're like, "I'm breaking it." Yeah. You know, like,
it's a lone wolf thing. Yeah,
yeah, you don't pack together with other anarchists and then via Facebook and make awesome screenshots of you with your anarchist flag. That's not really anarchism. It's sort of the reverse.
How long ago did this take place?
May 1st of last year, not this year.
Okay, so you've been at this a while.
Yeah, I've been public since November 19th, 2010, I think.
Okay.
I was undercover before that. I got really public on January 7, 2011, when I stopped to Grand Theft Auto on camera. So nice. That got kind of my big publicly.
Nice. You know, I you obviously know way more about it than I do, but you started this thing because somebody broke into a car, your child got hurt. You found a ski mask in the car, or maybe in your glove box, or somebody left it. I'm not sure. You put it on and went and found the guy.
That guy, yeah.
Recount that story, man. The initial. Clear, you're an MMA fighter,
right?
Badass. I've seen you whip some ass on YouTube, and it was fierce, man.
You know, it's an outlet. You have to be careful with that kind of skills. Yeah. When you have skills that can hurt people like that, you got to be very careful with them.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly, or with great leg kicks, you know.
You have huge legs, dude.
Yeah.
I've seen you press some, like...
It was like almost 1,000. Over, it was like
1,000. Yeah, almost
1,000.
It was
980, I think, yeah. My record is 1,300 total press, but just one push. I was just going for multiples on that. Yeah.
Wow.
Leg press... Anyone can tell me anything. Everyone can throw a punch. But your legs are longer than a punch. Most people can't punch. So if you can kick, you can pretty much nullify any hand attack that anyone can really do.
I saw when you were fighting that the racist... Dude,
yeah, that guy was a total jerk.
You kept leg kicking him. That's great because nobody expects that, and it must hurt like a bitch.
It minimizes the damage to your opponent because their legs are actually a huge muscle. So you get what's known as an anterior bruise or a subdural hematoma.
Are you hitting him in the thigh?
I'm hitting him. There's like a little... Here, I'll show you. You guys can't see at home, but I'm going to reach over and I'm going to push a spot on his leg. Oh, yeah, because the GoPro. I'm going to reach and push a spot on his leg. There's actually a soft part on the leg that causes pain. It's located right here. And when you push it, you feel
that? Oh, yeah.
So what you do is you hit there, and then you hit inside, and you hit here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You feel that?
Pressure points?
Yeah, they're pressure points. Oh, so when you blast them, basically it starts bleeding under your leg and in your muscle. So what happens is the guy, a leg will swell up and he can't stand. But he's not
pretty
injured.
Quickly?
4 or 5. Yeah.
Oh, after 4 or 5.
4 or 5 kicks. But I mean, you can hit someone 4 or 5 kicks pretty quickly. I mean, the reason the guy in the video gets knocked out is because, I don't know, he was either a really, really tough dude or extremely inebriated. I don't think he was drunk, but whatever. I kick him a bunch, and I mean, his leg literally looks like just black and blue mess at that point.
Yeah.
And he's still
standing.
You
guys can YouTube this. It's a pretty, basically, Phoenix, and I don't know, was he really a racist?
Yeah. Well, I mean, did you hear the video?
He dropped the N-bomb on you?
It was before that, though. Like, he's walking around, he's punching into car windows, yelling at people, and he's calling me a super N-word, like all kinds of crazy shit. And
okay, I didn't actually hear that.
It was super nuts. If he's not racist, he uses racist vernacular a lot.
Right, got it. Which can be misconstrued.
Yeah, totally. If I walk in here and start calling you white racist names, and then go, by the way, I'm not actually racist. Just because I dress this way doesn't mean I am this way.
This show, it's long form, so we can kind of like tangentially go off on little rants. I want to get, it was a great video. I think maybe that seems like one of your most famous videos.
It's definitely got the most hits. Yeah.
Yeah, but you square off with this dude. It's pretty tense. Like, the cops show up, and there's a Washington law state. Explain that law.
It's called mutual combat, but it's actually not. It's actually called consent to duel. It's an old school law from like the 1920s. That if a man, there's three
and
ways.
You pulled that out on him.
Oh yeah, I had it on paper. There's three ways to like say that you can basically duel. First one is you go and you kiss another man's wife. The second one is you take a hat off the top of a riding cowboy and place it on your own head. The third one is you take a white glove and slap them in the face or shake hands and consent to duel. I went with the shake hands and consent to duel.
Did you shake his hand?
Yeah, we shake hands in the video. You can see it. It's pretty funny. And the cops don't know what to do because it's not against the law.
And they let it go.
Well, they have to. I mean, we're not breaking the law. They have no right to intervene.
And you were happy to do so.
The video is 8 minutes long. And I spent the first 6.5 minutes telling the guy to just walk away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I watched that, and one, if they didn't know, I think, your background, know how you rolled, they might misconstrue that, oh, Phoenix is slightly fearful of this guy because he would come up and you would back off.
Right.
But yeah. I think knowing the situation now, it seems like you were just defusing it, hoping, you know,
I was hoping
not to go there.
I was hoping that by me just backing down to him a little bit, that he would walk away, because at that point, he had already caused the crime, but the victims had gone. So we weren't going to be able to get, you know, him for breaking the window or punching the people in the car or anything. So there was really no crime we were going to be able to get him for at that point, except for just being a racist fuck.
Yeah.
So sure. I tried to back away and let it happen. And as I'm backing away, that's when he says he's going to follow me to my house. So we call the police. Police show up and I say, hey, he said he's going to follow me to my house. The cop goes, well, there's no law against him following you as long as they just stop talking. If they start asking you, they can follow you as long as they want unless they show threatening. And I was like, really? You're going to let this guy follow me home? And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen. I'm like, we're going to have to fight now.
That's
when I walked up and I said, listen, you want to do it, we'll do it.
Did you, I haven't been in a lot of fights in my life.
Okay.
Very few. I'd be tensed out. I'd be a little freaked out in that situation. Were you freaked out at all by this guy?
Not this guy particularly. I mean, I've been in some fights on the streets where I'm freaked out. But it was extremely clear for me from the beginning that he was not a capable fighter. And by capable, I mean he could probably beat up most people or half the people he meets.
He'd probably intimidate most people.
Yeah, but he's not going to beat me up. He put his hands up. He had his wrong power hand forward. His feet were in the wrong position. I immediately took stock of what I was looking at. I said, this is not going to be.
You just picked it apart immediately. Like that's really interesting because you've done that professionally.
Exactly. You know, like when you go like this to most people, right, they think you can, they're thinking, yeah, you can fight, right? Well, this is the
throw
right
up your
hand.
Left.
Yeah, this is the right hand forward. You got the left power hand.
Oh, sorry,
hand
you're
back,
right. Sorry, got it.
Well,
got it.
Theoretically,
it should
speaking,
be reversed.
It should be reversed.
Because you're jabbing with your weak hand and your
power. But everybody does this because it just feels stronger, right? It's a sign of an untrained fighter. So the minute they put the wrong hands forward, I'm like, okay, that's a good start. And then he starts with the wrong feet forward because the only way to get power in this hand is to have that foot back. So you've got your hand forward but your foot back. That just doesn't even work.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and I analyzed it and I said, this guy...
Yeah. Right.
I pretty much told him that too. I said, listen, I said, you really don't want to do this. It's going to be a bad choice.
And in the distance, basically, you guys go at it. I don't think he connects at all.
He threw one punch that scraped my nose, and that's that. Right then, I knocked him out. After that, I was a little frustrated.
Okay, so that's in the distance, and it appears like at one point you get in close,
yeah.
And sharp right, he goes down, and his buddy starts yelling. He called quits, man. What's up with that?
Did the guy call quits? I don't know how you call quits in a street fight. I mean, the rules were pretty simple. If you watch the video, I state the rules to him before I go. I say, one of us falls down, the fight's over. Other than that, there's no way to stop this fight. Right, because that's the rules of mutual combat.
Okay, right.
So if he really wanted to quit, all he had to do was just sit down.
Did he drop his guard at that point?
No. If you watch the video, he's going like this. I throw a punch, and he goes like this to lean away from the punch by putting his hands down and pulling his head back, which is just rookie stuff. And then I come with the right. And I actually, the whole video, I'm trying to walk him back to the wall because I can't knock him out in the middle of the street because I don't want him to fall and hit his head on the concrete. So I'm trying to walk him so I can knock him out into a wall. Back hits a wall and he sits down.
Mm-hmm.
So as I walk him and I finally get him in the right position, I throw a punch and he leans back with his hands down. I'm like, money. And that was the shot I was looking for. Because it's very important where you knock people out.
It's funny, the shots that do it aren't the big crazy haymakers.
No, it was a very little.
Are you a Mike Tyson fan?
I love Mike Tyson.
That shot he hit Michael Spinks with looked like nothing. But but if you watch it, Spinks was very close, and it was like this little like short little punch, and it put him down, and the guy was clearly knocked out. I mean, it didn't look like much, but...
You know, what people don't realize is there's only really a couple ways to get knocked out. Yeah. There's the way where you get the side of your head hit so hard, your brain slams against your skull, the electricity in your brain shuts off, and your body tries to lay prone, which is laying flat, to get yourself to restart your electrical circuits, right?
Yeah.
Another knockout is where your head turns so far to one direction that once your electricity turns off to relax your body so you don't break your own neck. Okay?
Oh.
So anywhere past here...
Past your shoulder.
It starts to knock yourself out just so your head can turn without causing you severe damage, right?
Wow.
And the other kind of knockout is your body's in so much pain, it cannot register the pain, so therefore it turns you off. Those are normally body shot knockouts.
Wow.
Where if someone gets hit, what happens is their liver gets poisoned because their liver secretes their toxins. The toxins flow out into their body. Their body goes, oh, I'm poisoned. And then they fall over and they can't handle the pain until the toxin goes away, right? What Mike Tyson did is had the rare ability to turn your head far enough to knock you out while slamming your brain against the side of your head. That's why his punches are so devastating.
That guy scares me. He's left-handed.
Yeah.
But he fought like a right-hander.
I'm left-handed. I fought like a right-hander, too. It's a great advantage because
okay.
In fighting, you have to eat punches eventually, right?
You're going to
eat the weak punches. So if I'm fighting you and you're right-handed, I'm going to try to eat your left-hand shots as much as possible.
Eat them. What do you mean?
What I mean is like you can only block a certain amount of punches, right?
Yeah.
So if I see you loading up for a big right hand, I might go to a right block. And if I see the left coming, but I know you're going to go right, left, right, I might go block the right,
eat the left, block the right.
Because my hands can't keep moving that fast. I'll get hit.
Right.
When Mike Tyson, if you're eating the left, you're getting knocked out cold.
Now, there's this great fight. My favorite fight of his, it's when he was 20 years old, I believe, or 18. He was really young. And when he first won the championship.
Yeah.
Second round knockout. Who did he fight there?
Let's see. He won the first time.
The first one.
I want to call him. It wasn't Pinklin Thomas.
No. Huh?
That was later. That was another belt, though.
Either way, like it's what you're talking about. He was just devastating. But the one punch that did it, you just see his head tweak just subtly, and he goes down and he tries to stand up.
And he keeps falling over. He's getting wobbling. Up and falling over. The guy with the black shorts, the big socks, man. I know you're talking about. Yeah. I watch that stuff all the time. I just can't remember his name. Yeah. See, that's what sucks, too.
I do, too, but I can't really take it out into the real world.
See, I feel bad for fighters who fight Mike Tyson because, like, your legacy is known for the time you got blasted when all those guys were world champions. We're talking about a world champion right now. I mean, the guy Mike Tyson took the belt from had the belt for, like, 2 years, man.
Yeah.
The guy we're talking about who we can't remember
and your name. And he had never fallen down.
No, he had never been down. Yeah. We can't remember your name. You fought for 25 years. Right. You knocked out 25 opponents. You were a four-time world champion.
Yeah.
And your defining moment is the time you fell over to Mike Tyson. That sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know how I deal with myself after that. I mean, that sucks. I feel bad. I'm going to learn your name, and I'm going to stop doing this because... Because you deserve at least to have your name remembered.
You know what, man? We can find his name right here.
That hurts, doesn't it?
Tell me about Fear the Flat Top. Can we talk about that, dude?
Yeah, we can talk about whatever.
Tell me about Fear the Flat Top. That's kind of an alter ego. That's a little saying. Do you still have a flat top?
Yeah, always, man.
Now, see, okay, real quick. My hair, straight, lays down. I can put a hat on no matter what hair I have. Right. You have a flat top. Clearly, you have a hat on and you put a superhero. Is it ever an issue?
It's not really an issue. It just depends on the day.
See, okay.
It's kind of like, it's just about, sort of blends.
It's about
up.
Three.
Well, it's not combed.
3 inches it's like above six. His hair. Normally it's six, yeah.
Yeah, it's like maxed down right now.
No problem. Okay.
But yeah, you know, the flat top thing was funny is I actually didn't come up with that nickname myself. I've always had a flat top. I got one in like seventh grade and I never really changed it. And I used to get booed all the time, and I'd come out to my fights, and my first couple fights, everybody just booed me. And they would sing, you know, Will Smith sucks, go home, and they'd be like, summertime.
Will Smith sucks, go home.
Yeah, all kinds of terrible stuff. It was just, I got booed all the time, man. Or like, they started making fun of me. So at the end of one of my fights, I had knocked out a guy and I'd finally, you know, gotten a little bit of respect. I was like 5 or 6 fights in. I was 6-0 at the time in the amateurs before I went pro. And some guy was like, I don't fear you. I'm not afraid of you. The champion guy was yelling at me, and I was like, you better fear the flat top, son. And the crowd went crazy. And before I knew it, people had like little flat top sticks on, like a popsicle stick with like a little flat top on the top, and like calling me like the kid Gumby and all kinds of funny stuff.
Where were you fighting the majority, your bouts? Where were your bouts?
Wow. They started off.
And by the way, it was Trevor Burbick.
Trevor Burbick.
Is the name of the guy Tyson.
They're right. Trevor Burbick. Yeah. But what do you call it? Majority of my fights, I fought in Everett Armory for a while. Then those were amateur fights. I did about 5 fights.
So all regionally around Seattle?
No. Once I got into the pros, I went up and I went over to, I fought in Illinois for a little bit. Man, I fought, you name it, I fought there. I fought all over. I fought in California. I fought in Oregon. I fought anywhere they would pay me, I would fight. And I fought 55, 70, and 85 weight classes, kickboxing, boxing, and MMA. I would take any fight. It was necessary. The only fight I lost twice, but the only fight that I truly lost was a fight for a light heavyweight title. That guy beat me up. He didn't knock me out, but at the end of the fight, I couldn't make a justifiable argument for why I should win.
Right.
Some of the other ones, pure garbage.
I saw this one, and all I can say is it was a white guy with short hair that you won, and you went nuts when they said, yeah.
When I had the blonde flat top on top?
I think so.
And I hit him with the hook and knock him out in the corner and just blast him when he's down.
Exactly. Yeah, he came around. He did this kick. And me and my buddy Fox, me and my buddy John Fox were watching it. And my buddy John Fox wanted to come in here and wrestle with you. I was like, dude, why not? That's a terrible idea.
That's a great idea. That's an amazing idea.
For him.
Why not?
Anyway, yeah, you hit this guy, and it was kind of like from a distance, and it was a little bit of distance between you and him. Hit him so hard, and he went down. It was basically one punch, and then you went to town on him, and they called the fight.
The funny thing is, I totally remember that incident because I remember thinking to myself, because I threw a short left hook.
Now, do you remember it more from YouTube or actually being there?
From actually being there. Okay. Not the whole fight, just that moment.
Yeah.
Because I remember thinking to myself, I threw a short left, and it wasn't going to make it. I remember thinking, if I just look away and extend my arm, maybe.
And you hit him.
Because I wanted it like, you know, I wanted it short like this. Yeah. And as I threw it, I saw. And I'm out here like all the way extended looking away at my arm out. And it just, tack.
Perfectly connected.
And I remember the weird part was I heard the sound because his jaw breaks in that fight. Ugh. And I heard the sound. I thought to myself, oh, that's devastating. And then I'm watching myself keep punching. I'm like, this is probably not what I should be doing right now.
That's what you're trained to do.
I was 17 situation. At that time. So
you were 17 years old?
Yeah, that's a long time. I started fighting when I was 16. So.
Wow. Okay, you know what? I realized we just went on this awesome tangent about all these cool things. What I was getting into before that was how you got started with the broken glass.
Yeah, basically me and my son are at Wild Waves, and we're hanging out there, and I'll have my cell phone, it's in my car.
How old are you at this point?
I'm 20? Yeah, I think I'm 20.
20 years old.
I'm 20, yeah. We're hanging out at Wild Waves, maybe almost 21. And we're running back to my car, and we're racing, and my son falls down. I pick him up, and he just starts like squirting blood everywhere. So I'm like, what? I grab him, and I put my hand on his leg.
On his head? His neck?
His leg.
Oh,
I put my hand on his leg trying to figure out why he's squirting blood, like a lot of blood. And I look, and I see all these glass shards. He's been like cut up, and he's just like, it was really bad.
Yeah.
So I yell for someone to call 911. And this guy comes running across with his camera phone in my face. And I'm like, sweet, call 911. And he goes, I can't. And I'm like, why? Because it'll ruin my YouTube clip. And I'm like, it'll ruin your YouTube clip. Like, it just kind of hit me. It was like, you'd rather record me and my son bleeding on the side of the road than...
What a douchebag.
Yeah, it was totally crazy. So I asked him politely to take his phone by just stealing it. And I took his phone.
Yeah.
I dialed 911. I called the cops. The cops show up. They put my son in the ambulance. They take him off, and they tell me I can't leave. I got to stay there until the police can make a report or whatever. The police show up to make a report. And they find out a guy had taken a ski mask, put a rock through it, thrown it through my window. You know, like basically so he could swing it, I think. Put it through my window and took off. And the cops said it was raining, so they don't do police reports for rain car break-ins because there's no fingerprints. They don't do anything. So they just give me an incident.
It's pretty convenient in Seattle.
Yeah,
wait
right.
Wait for the cops not to do their job.
So they just gave me an incident number and told me, you know, that was that. So went to the hospital, got to the hospital, and my insurance, they said, oh, we'll cover it. We just need to know the, you know, the police report number. And I'm like, I didn't have one. I have an incident number. So my insurance wouldn't cover it. My window couldn't get fixed. It was one problem after another. And I'm cleaning out my car, and I find the ski mask in there, and I just get super mad. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put this ski mask on. I'm going to track this dude down. So that's what I did. Went down to that parking lot, threw that ski mask on. For a couple of weekends of looking for him, I found this guy breaking into a car, chased him into the woods. You know, he turns around and kind of looked at me like he was going to get up and fight me. So I threw an overhand and caught him and just knocked him. He went down. I zip-tied him to a tree. And when he woke up, I was like 2 inches from his face, you know. And I had the ski mask on. And it's funny. You think in moments like that, you have to remember to act like Batman. But actually, all you can do is act like Batman. So I'm in his face and I'm just like, do you know who I am? You know?
Dude, that's awesome.
It was pretty scary.
Keep going.
So I scared him for a little bit, and then when I realized, after you lose the adrenaline, you kind of realize, okay, I've got this guy handcuffed to a tree now. That's called kidnapping. I've definitely assaulted him. Like, you're like, this is bad. So I decided I would just scare him and leave. So I went to the car, got my first aid kit, you know, clothes, so he was naked to this tree, took his wallet, you know, took his credit card, bought a whole bunch of cheeseburgers for homeless people. Passed them out to homeless people downtown, mailed his ID to the police.
Be truthful, did you have one of those cheeseburgers, Phoenix?
One? I had maybe more than one.
You had a couple. Okay.
And I handed them out to a bunch of homeless people downtown, mailed his wallet back to him, and that was sort of the end of that experience. But it was I was going to be done after that. I wasn't going to keep fighting crime.
I'm sorry, did you say you called the cops with that one?
I mailed his ID to the police.
Oh, okay.
I didn't call the cops because I figured it'd be hard to explain a naked guy taped to a tree.
Yeah. Oh, he was naked. Fuck, man. What? I was setting up something. Technically speaking, you stripped him down, buck naked.
Well, I cut his pants and clothes off with surgical scissors that I had in my medical kit. So
you're prepared. Were you a Boy Scout?
Yeah. Funny thing, I was a Boy Scout.
But Eagle Scout?
I did make it to Eagle Scout. Did you know that? Did you look that up?
I just guessed.
All right.
Because I didn't make it that far, man. However, I got to Weebelo. Or actually, I got to Boy Scouts. I forget what happened, why I quit, but it was always be prepared, right? That's the motto.
Yeah, I have a funny thing. I have my Boy Scout patch, my American flag I got, because you get that once you get to the Eagle.
Yeah,
I got it on my right, on the same side that I have it on my superhero suit, so it's kind of a funny thing. It's nice. The same patch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever noticed that?
People come up to me all the time, and they're like, oh, you're in the military? I was like, no. I was a Boy Scout. All right, well, for everybody listening.
Cool. We're going.
If you guys want to call in some questions now, mm-hmm. feel free. Sorry about the delay. I'm going to retweet and repost that you guys can call in now, and we'll stop ignoring you. So.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and play some music.
Dude,
some
yes.
Black and Yellow.
Yes, Black and Yellow.
He requested and yellow. Black and Yellow. And then we'll get back into this. Phoenix, you're maybe the most interesting dude I've had in here.
Maybe. I'll accept that.
I don't want to insult any of my previous guests.
I accept that.
But yeah, they're probably cool with that title.
Diplomatically safe.
All right. That was a little Black and Yellow. Man, I love that song.
Uh-huh. You know what it is.
Black and Yellow. Yep. It's a good one. So where were we? Tied the dude to a tree. Bought a bunch of cheeseburgers for homeless people. You do a lot of good kind of charitable work around the city. Yeah. Go into that a little bit, Phoenix.
You know what's really weird is that when I first started superheroing, I actually offended a whole lot of the superhero community by basically making fun of homeless work. You know, I started off by just saying superheroes don't hand out cheeseburgers, or they call themselves RLSH, real life superheroes. So I call them real life sandwich handlers.
Right.
Because they don't actually fight any crime; they just hand out sandwiches.
Yeah, I saw you handing out some Taco Bell once too.
Totally. Yeah. So once I got out there though and started fighting crime, I realized that there's. You know, some nights I don't find any crime. Some nights I just walk around for hours. And there's no positiveness in that. So yeah. I started always packing, like, a sleeping bag, some cheeseburgers, or a taco.
Would you go to the Goodwill, buy some cheap sleeping bags or something like that?
Yeah, now I just have people throw them on my Facebook. I just say, hey, I need some sleeping bags, and I get 50 of them. Or, you know, hey, I need some gloves.
What, do you go pick them up? Or?
Yeah, I have a comic shop. Everybody can just donate to my comic shop. It's the Dreaming Comics in University Districts. It's 5226 University Way in Northeast Seattle, Washington, 98115.
As in, somebody, you don't own this comic shop?
No, I don't own it. The owner's
it's the really, one where they go.
Yeah, the owner's really awesome, and he lets me put stuff in a box there.
Cool.
So people mail stuff to me all the time. And I started feeling really like my patrols were more fulfilled that way. I'm walking around, and if I don't see any crime, but I've handed out, you know, 10 sleeping bags to some really sleep, like people who are really cold, and a bunch of cheeseburgers and stuff, you just feel like, man, you've done something, you know?
That's very important.
It really supplemented the crime fighting for me. And I mean, I would say to this day, we've handed out way more food and life essential supplies than we have fought the crime. And we were about 260 crimes deep. We're probably, I mean, just alone, the handout I did last time where I got my action team. Action Team is a people who want to help me out, and they live in Seattle, and they want to come out and just help me fight crime. So it's on my face. It's on my actual website, www.thephoenixjones.com.
Now, I walk around Seattle at night, and I very rarely see a bunch of crime. How do you find crime? Why do you find crime? Like, are you attracted to it? Do you just hang out at the right spots? I never see that stuff. You know what to look for?
It's a combination of knowing what to look for, being in the right spot, and following up on hunches.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll see a guy who's doing something that's off, not making any sense for the area or district he's in, right?
Yeah.
So instead of just letting him walk by, you know, I'll let him walk by so where he can't see me, and I'll follow him for a couple blocks, and then maybe down the street I'll catch him doing a crime, one he wouldn't have done just right there.
So let's say he's walking, somebody will be wearing something and walking through a part of Belltown that everybody's dressed a certain way, and he doesn't make sense, and you'll follow him like that?
Yeah, but I'll do it from a distance where I'm not like abrasive or getting into their personal space. You know, a good example is there's a guy who we saw walking through Belltown, right? And he walked over to his car and tried to open the door, and it wouldn't open. So then he went and he fuddled with his keys, and he was going to put his keys in the lock. So we just took a left, kind of hid in the corner around the corner and watched this guy. I'm like, because I thought maybe he was too drunk to drive if he couldn't remember how to open his car door.
Yeah, so something
was going on. He looks both ways and sits there for a second. And I'm thinking, wow, so we didn't know his car. And he walks over and goes back into a bar. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Guess he's not going to drive. He's just going to keep drinking. That's fine, right? Later, about an hour later, we see the same guy in a totally different car. Doing the same thing, trying it and fuddling with his keys. Yeah. I'm like, that's weird. So, you know, I walk over to him and say, can I help you? And the guy bolts. So I start chasing him. He starts running. He cuts down some stairs, you know, throws something over to the left. And I'm like, wow, it's weird. Cuts to the right. I end up stopping him and kind of detaining him for a second. And the keys turned out not to be his keys. He had just found a pair of keys and was going over to every Honda he could find trying to start the car and steal their car.
Oh.
And so we weren't able to arrest him because he hadn't actually committed a crime. We were able to return the keys to their owner.
So you just approached him, got the keys back?
Well, once I started to approach him, he took off running, so I chased him. And he threw the keys. And
are you fast?
I'm faster than him. You know, it's funny. The suit weighs like about 60 pounds total.
Oh, really?
So when I run
it's an amazing suit, dude.
It really is, man.
And when you started, you had the ski mask, and I think the suit is kind of built as the months and the years have progressed.
Totally, yeah.
And it's amazing. Now, do you have pants now?
Yeah, I've got a full-on, like, super gear now.
Because honestly, like, I saw some pictures of you just, like, from the waist up, you know, this amazing superhero, like, out of a movie suit. But then I saw your pants you were wearing. It didn't quite...
No, yeah.
Didn't add up.
It takes a while, because what I'm making out of is D3O, right? Which is a material that gets hard when you hit it. So, like, as you hit it, it hardens.
Yeah.
So, when you hit it, wow, it hardens up and then kind of keeps you protected. And that's sort of how it works. So the material is extremely expensive.
Really?
So, yeah. Let's see who it is. Let's check it
it's
out.
It's that same dude.
Are you sure?
It's the unknown. Next time, is it
the number?
It's an unknown number. So okay. That's what he's been calling.
If anyone other than that tries to call in, we do want to answer your questions. I feel like I'm ignoring my fan base. I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
I got this guy who's cyber stalking me.
Yeah, weird.
Well, actually, not even cyber stalking anymore. Now it's landline stalking. It's a new thing.
Skype stalking.
It just happens to me and J-Lo and Jennifer Aniston.
Ooh.
Good company.
J-Lo, you're with J-Bo. Yeah. That's how I got that. My name's Jesse Boggs, and somebody's like, oh, you're J-Bo. So I changed it and spelled it differently, but there you go.
That's kind of funny, man.
Alter ego. Yeah, the suit. And underneath it, you have...
Bulletproof vest, stab-proof plating.
That's probably what weighs the most, right?
Surprisingly enough, no. The D3O is what weighs the most.
Really?
The bulletproof vest and the stab plating, if you have the money for it, you can buy it, and it's pretty cheap. You just have to... Well, not cheap, pretty light, but you have to have the money. I mean, the cheaper your vest goes, the heavier it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
like, the military vests are like 40 pounds, because they're the ones that the government buys are really cheap. They don't... This is going to piss people off.
It's kind of a shame.
They don't care about their soldiers as much as I care about myself.
Right.
But I have dragon skin bi-weave armor. The whole thing weighs maybe a pound and a half to 2 pounds.
Yeah.
Whereas my brother was in the military, and he was carrying a 40-pound vest that has the same capabilities as mine. So
40 pounds, Jesus.
Yeah. But it's cheaper. I mean, you could buy 8 for the price that you buy one of mine.
I think I've gathered that you're a fan of Captain America.
Dude, yes. Love Captain America.
The comic book.
I love the comic book Captain America.
What do you
America?
Love about Captain America? I know a few things about a few superheroes. That's one I'm not totally hip on. What's Captain America's deal? What's his M.O.?
So, I guess I don't know how to... What's his M.O.? That's a hard one. Basically, you know the whole, like, startup story, right?
I don't.
Okay, so he's just like a broke kid in Brooklyn who's just kind of a small guy, and there's the war going on. He wants to join the war. He gets denied a whole bunch of times, and then he meets up with this Dr. Erskine guy, and they give him basically like steroids and make him a super soldier. Mm-hmm. But the reason they chose him, even though he was like the most unqualified, was because he had a good heart. So Captain America sort of essentially... I guess I don't want to make people mad, but I guess I'm just going to have to go out there with my opinion, right?
Go for it.
America's supposed to be one way. We're supposed to be a certain type of people. We're supposed to be sort of the guardians of the world, per se. Right. And as you get older and you do things, you realize it's just not that way. You go to high school to get a diploma, to go to college to get a degree, and then the degree gets you a job. But not in our economy anymore. You don't really get those things. Or you're supposed to be helping out the rest of the world, and you find out the entire world hates us. Like, you don't travel with an American flag backpack in different countries because people will hate you. You know, it's like we were supposed to be something, and somewhere along the way, capitalism kind of ruined it. And Captain America,
as in souring the reputation.
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Souring the reputation of what America really is.
Okay.
And Captain America to me is the quintessential of what we could have been, what we could be. You know, there's
shades of that that we still are.
There's definitely still shades of it, but there's not an icon we can look at. I can look at and I can say that's who I want to be for America. That's the icon I want to be. And Captain America is sort of that that guy for me. Like, whenever I think and I get into a moment and I think, you know, for example, like the other day was Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Memorial Day, and I was thinking, what do I think of when I think of Memorial Day? And what I think of is the Captain America comic book I read as a kid, where he goes to the memorial of all the people who died in the Vietnam War. And he's sitting there, and the first three pages of the comic book, he's just sitting there, and you just see his eyes and his face and his eyes and his face. It was a really terrible way to start a comic book. And finally, this kid walks up. He goes, Cap, how long are you going to be standing there? And he says, as long as it takes to read every single name and remember every person's sacrifice they did to this country in a war that I missed.
Right.
And you're like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you do the time on that, if it took 1 second per name, and it's like 18 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I guess like I would imagine a true American hero would really do. He defines what I think a true American hero really is. It's the selfless service to others, and we just don't really have it. I wanted to come out and be sort of the Captain America type superhero. Unfortunately, I ended up sort of the Tony Stark type superhero. But
how do you mean Iron Man? How do you mean?
Well, by nature, I'm just generally abrasive by nature.
Oh, I see. I see. Your personality?
Just generally abrasive by nature. I try to be cool, and I try to you know, set good examples, but every once in a while I got to knock a guy out in the street for being a racist punk, which Captain America would never do.
Right.
You know?
Well, he was white, first of all.
Yeah, that's a good start. I hate all white people. Come here. Yeah.
So you read a lot of comics as a youngster?
Funny, I read a lot of comics once I was like 13.
Okay.
Before that, I got like Batman comics only, and Batman never really did it for me. I didn't really like Batman that much, which is another weird thing because I became very Batman-esque. No superpowers, gadgets, right?
Right. If there's anybody that you would compare it to,
it would be Nightwing.
Oh, Nightwing.
Batman is Robin. Robin is Batman's sidekick, right?
Yeah.
Robin says, "Batman, you're kind of a D-hole, kind of an A-hole," and he decides to leave, and he's like, "I'm out of here. I'm going to go do this myself." And he becomes his own superhero called Nightwing.
Oh, that's what Robin did.
Yeah, so he's got the skills of Batman, but the personality of someone who's kind of funner.
Okay.
And he goes around in Bloodhaven and stops all this awesome.
I think people listening, aside from Robert Frost, who can't be pleased, probably think you're a pretty fun guy.
I think, I hope so. I hope they think I'm a fun guy.
I had no idea, man, because you look totally different with the mask on.
Yeah, I'm much angrier with the mask on.
I guess in those situations. But even with a straight face, I'm sure it's menacing a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I do what I can. I try to look intimidating.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
And you lower your voice a little bit when you speak? suit. Now, you just got those brand new boots. They're killer. They're gold.
Dude, yes. 511 made me some boots, and they're awesome. They're gold tactical boots. I was like, are you serious right now? These are awesome.
What do you think about the notion that Seattle is kind of a beginner city for superheroes, because it's relatively safe here?
I would agree with that statement, kind of.
And
I don't think that's why it's a beginner city, though. Seattle's got really hardcore crime here. It does.
Yeah.
The difference of Seattle, that Seattle to me, crime is scarier than other places. And let me give you an example why. I've been all over. I recently went down to California, fought some crime in Oakland. I fought some crime in the Tenderloin from California.
The Tenderloin, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I used to live down there.
It's crazy. The Tenderloin was like Belltown on steroids. Like, I've been everywhere. I've been all over. I've been to D.C.
Up when you're down there?
Yeah, of course. I go fight crime. That's just, just who I am.
Okay.
So, you know, not a big deal. The thing that I found that's kind of crazy about Seattle, though, is you can get robbed on First and Pike, which is the heart of Seattle, or you can get robbed in the hood, and your odds are about the same. There's not really a dangerous place of Seattle. It's just sort of there's criminals that free roam Seattle. It's just like a free roaming area.
So you can't be guaranteed safety anywhere.
Right. Whereas in California, if you're in San Francisco, you're not going to get robbed at gunpoint.
Okay.
But
okay.
If you're in the Tenderloin, you will most likely get robbed at
gunpoint. Or Oakland.
Yeah. Actually, Oakland was a lot cooler than people.
Or if you're in Berkeley, maybe not, but Oakland, yes. They're right next to each other. Yeah.
It's sort of like there's these like defining lines of where it's hood and where it isn't. And Seattle doesn't have those. So Seattle scares me because, and as bad as this sounds, in Seattle, crime happens to unsuspecting, normal people. If a gangster in the hood robs a gangster in the hood, it's less, I think, surprising because they're prepared for that. Like, everyone I met in the Tenderloin was like, bro, you don't want to be here, man. It's rough. Except for the people who were trying to rob people. But they knew it, and they were all prepared and weaponed up. Here you meet, like, an elderly woman who's walking home in Belltown, and she gets jumped by 8 guys and stomped on her face. And you're like, are you serious? That's crazy. For $10?
And you're saying, like, for what reason will that not happen in Frisco?
Because an elderly woman won't walk through the Tenderloin.
Oh, I see.
And criminals aren't in Frisco.
Right, right.
Like, so it's just this weird, it's this weird thing.
In San Francisco proper, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you say to the people who make fun of you?
Normally, I laugh with them. I think the funnier thing is just to laugh with them and let them go. Because what people make fun of me for is stuff I can't really defend. I mean, they're like, you wear a funny suit. I do, but let's see what happens when both of us get shot at point blank range.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, I think people, if people look at me and they think, well, the police should do that, and, you know, you're really missing, you haven't done anything important, they're missing the point. The point is, a guy in a rubber suit shouldn't be able to walk around and find crime, period. It shouldn't happen. And if I am able to put on a rubber suit, grab a camera, and walk around and find crime, then somewhere, somebody has failed. And that's really the question. Who has failed, really, to allow this to happen? Does that make sense?
Yeah. What would you say to the folks out there that look up to you? There's a lot of them, it seems.
There's a lot of
positive. Everybody's pretty sharply divided.
There's no middle guys for me. You either love me or you hate me. There's really no middle ground. Yeah. I'd agree with that. But I think everybody who looks up to me, I think don't look up to my example as what to do. Look up to my example as what you can do. For example, there's a lot of ways to help your community. There's a lot of ways to step up. There's a lot of ways to be a super person. You don't need to go out there and put on a suit and fight crime. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you if you see someone who needs help, to help them. I'm asking you if you see someone who's out of gas to pull over. I'm asking you to donate money to homeless shelters. I'm asking you to do what you can do within your range. If you wake up one day and you're a 21-year-old MMA fighter with a bunch of fights, who's cruised around the world, 3 black belts in martial arts, and you've got a ski mask that a robber left in your car, then by all means, be a superhero. But if you wake up one day and you're like, you know, I've got an extra $100 because I just got this raise at my work and there's this homeless guy who lives in the corner of my house. I bet he could use a shower. And you know, pay for him to have a YMCA membership for a year or something like that. That's what you can do. I guess that's what I want to say. I want to say you step up your way. Don't follow me. Be your own hero, you know.
No, I agree. You know, I see people on the street and I just look at them and maybe they're missing a leg. Maybe they just got horrible clothes on and they can't feed themselves. And I was like, no matter what, I will never, for whatever circumstances led me here, I will never be as bad off as that dude. No. This $5 in my pocket, this $10 in my pocket that I buy Taco Bell and a latte with, I'll give it to him. It's not a big thing, you know? And I absolutely will do that because I will never be that worse off. And I think that's a great message.
Yeah, it's just you gotta look at things. You gotta look at things in perspective.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I guess you got to put it in perspective, man.
Is there a growing superhero movement nationally?
Yeah, I'm starting one. So here's the deal. There's superheroes all over, right? Yeah. Most of them don't do anything. They've got really cool Facebook pages and YouTube channels, and they don't really do anything else. There's not really any of them fighting crime, right? What I've done is I've found the ones who are actually fighting crime, mobilized them together, and started a sharing of ideas and stories. It's called the... what do you call it? The Alliance, which is sort of my version of the Avengers, kind of.
Nice.
And I've got Crimson Fist has his own superhero thing down there in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called The Gateway. They're down there.
That's not a beginner superhero city.
No, but Crimson Fist has been around longer than me.
Oh, no shit.
He just doesn't. He hasn't had the same media exposure. But we're working on it. We're getting him cameras. We're getting him gear. We're hooking him up with stuff. It's going to be awesome.
I think you're the best looking superhero. I mean, as far as your gear goes, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's fair, yeah.
It's all about presentation. I mean, that has to be one
of the It's
one
a combination of presentation and effectiveness.
Yeah.
So in Seattle, when I fight crime, like, the news can't help but get 10, 15 calls. If I tackle a dude in the street, everyone who stops is taking photos. And now the news has got 30 photos and he tackles him in the street. And they're like, okay, what happened? They may not want to play it, but they kind of have to play it.
Yeah.
Atlanta's not the same. They're like, oh, look at that weird dude in Spandex. You know, like, Crimson Fist is down there. I've got the UK crime fighting movement over there in Great Britain.
Okay.
Kept up by man Red Falcon in London Fog.
UK.
Yeah, the UK. I'm going over there too to fight some crime soon, which will be fun.
I hope you find some crime.
Oh, dude, the UK won't be hard to find crime. Everything's a fist fight and no one's going to shoot me, so I'm pretty excited.
Dude.
Getting shot sucks.
Yeah, good reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're starting a national. You've kind of spearheaded the movement of a national, growing superhero movement nationally. Sorry,
yeah.
I saw this clip on YouTube not too long ago, and did you really get your nose broken?
Yeah, I really did.
Now you were apprehending somebody when somebody else came up with a gun.
Well, the guy was in a parking lot and had a gun. He was in a parking lot and had a gun. And he was threatening people, trying to rob people.
Yeah.
So I came up from the side and I tackled him. I took him down. I had him in a. Do you know any jiu-jitsu at all?
Very little.
Do you know what a guillotine is?
I think so.
It's where you throw your hand over the back of their head like this, and you're kind of choking them that way with your legs wrapped around them.
Okay. I think I know that from, like, watching
UFC
wrestling back in the day.
Yeah. So I had him in a guillotine. Okay. I'm holding him on the ground, and I called 911. I figured the cops would be, you know, 3-4 minutes out. Yeah. Well, 20 minutes later, the cops still haven't showed up. The guy who was originally his friend was looking for him and shows up, sees me with this guy on the floor, and I've got him almost passed out at this point. And he walks over, pulls a gun on me. So I let the guy go, and as he's getting up, and I'm on the ground still, he threw his heel into my face and broke my nose, and blood kind of splurted up everywhere. So they all took off and hopped in their car, and then at that point, the
cops... You had your super suit on at this point.
Right. And at that point, the cops show up. So they see me laying on the floor with blood coming out of my face. They're like, oh, you got hurt. I'm like, yeah, I got hurt because you all didn't show up.
And that's what they got a little pissed about, some of the cops.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you end up inserting yourself into situations, and then you become a victim.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, listen, 20 minutes ago, I was a hero, but you guys waited too long.
Right.
Like, don't get mad at me. Your response time sucks. To me, it didn't hurt my superhero resolve. It hurt my resolve in the police department. I was like, if you guys aren't going to show up for 20 minutes, I need to get my zip ties back. So.
And then you got cheap shotted.
Yeah, a couple
punched.
Weeks ago, I got
and I saw a picture of the guy. He looked like a bruiser.
The funny part about the cheap shot was, for being a big guy, he hits really badly.
Right.
Like, it was just sort of a weird moment, because I was like, you hit me with a free shot and couldn't get anything?
Now, how did that come up? From the side?
I was taking some photos with a couple friends of mine, and we're standing there, and this guy comes up from the side and just, bam, blind shots me, and my contact goes out my left eye, and my right eye swells up, so I have no real vision. So I pull the phaser out, which is my, like, my version of a taser, but it shoots rubber balls and pepper balls and all kinds of cool stuff.
Pepper balls?
Yeah, pepper balls.
Oh, wow.
But it's really accurate pepper spray. It's like...
Oh, okay.
So, I pull it out. I can't get him. I can't get a good vision of him. I tell him Jack to find him. Jack can't get a good visual on him. He hops in the car and takes off. We got his plate. We later got his name. We sent it to the police. The police identified him, and we're going through the legal route that way. But yeah, I mean.
You'll see him again, I bet.
Well, I know who he is now. I got his name. I mean, I tracked him through Twitter. Got his name and everything. Got his pictures all over
Facebook.
Would he
brag about it or something?
It was just timing. He was just... It was some comments from his friends who were like, dude, can't believe you did that. And then him just being like, shut up, you know? And then that through Twitter. And then there was some Facebook shots that I put up on my Facebook, and people identified him through my Facebook.
I know what he looks like.
We're like, hey, yeah. We're like, hey, I know that guy. Yeah. Like, at one point, they're like, that guy's getting a barbershop cut in the barbershop, Matt. Like, I mean, I get notifications about guys all the time. So I got the police on it. And
doesn't faze you getting just punched from some big dude?
No, it was, you know, if you watch the video.
Was there a video of him actually hitting you?
Yeah, the funny part is, like, after he hits me, I'm like, man, come on.
Did you go down?
No, I just wobbled. I was like, bloop. I was like, man, come on. So the funny part was, it was more like, I think for being a big dude, he hits really badly. I've been hit by a lot of smaller dudes much more powerfully.
Yeah. And unless he's a pro fighter, I would imagine he's not used to getting hit either.
No. If
it ever came down to it.
I offered him mutual combat on my YouTube, on my Facebook, but I soon realized that I'd be letting my fans down pretty hardcore to settle law, because that really is stepping into the realm of vigilantism. It's legal, but it's like, you did something wrong, so I'm going to settle it my way. So even though I would like to do that, I'm taking my fans' cue on that, and I went the legal route, and the police are working their angle on the case. So
now, speaking of the police, it seems like I talked to a cop about you once. He came to my restaurant. I was like, "What do you think of the Phoenix Jones guy?" I think this is before I realized I was going to interview you. He says, "Heart's in the right place." I guess we just hope he doesn't get hurt. I actually forget what he said, but
that sounds about right.
What's the police's beef with you? How are you dealing with that? I saw something on your Facebook where you were asking for people's accounts of how you actually saved them or stopped crime, and that. What's going on there?
Well, it's kind of weird. It's like it's like there's the PR department of the police department, and there's the actual police department. So the police I meet on the streets are all really cool. Most of the beat cops that I meet who are out there actually dealing with criminals, they love when I'm there, because I show up and I give them a video of the incident, so they know I'm telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I give them a witness statement from 17 other dudes, and then we're like, oh yeah, we'll show up for court whenever you need us. You know?
Oh, cool.
Because our little coalition, we're really cool like that. So if one of our guys misses work, right?
Yeah.
We all will take like an hour of our pay and give it to that guy who's on our team. So we'll hook him up with his day's missed work, and we all miss like $10 a person, so we don't really lose all of our money.
Okay.
So that way, because I mean, people, it's hard to go to court. You might be there for 2 days, and you get paid $10 an hour. It's in $160. That's a lot of money. But each of us could do 2 hours of our work and, you know, hook him up. So we do, and that's how our team kind of works out that way.
And how many locally? There, you said there's 17 locally.
There's 17 locally? Of us locally.
Do you know all their names?
All their real names?
No, they're superhero names.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Could you name them?
Sure. Let's start with some fingers, though, to make it easier. Got Red Falcon. Scarlet Falcon. Bishop. Midnight Jack. Ghost.
Yeah.
Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix Jones. El Caballero. Tomahawk. Usid. Boomer. Did I say Midnight Jack? No. Midnight Jack. So it's going to get hard. Griff Gray.
If you were writing them down, I'm sure it'd be much easier.
Oh, no, I think I got this. Griff Gray. There's Pitch Black. We're at 13. So yeah, we are 13. Five short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's five more.
Okay. That's pretty impressive, though.
Oh, Evocatus. Evo. Eva. There's two more.
Evocatus.
Evocatus.
Okay.
Evocatus and Eva. Then there's Ryan McNamee. He's kind of a superhero. He's our camera guy. He's awesome. But he's part of the crew. We count him. Then there is Danger Dave. He's also a camera guy. Now we're just too short.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied. Now, do you guys get together and have a superhero meeting?
Kind of. We have every Monday we post the schedule on the line and then go through who's doing what and who's patrolling where.
What, on email account or somewhere online? Yeah.
We have a secret.
Secret thing.
Super secret Facebook page that only we can
know. Yeah. Internal affairs.
It's internal. We actually have an internal affairs officer. We have a human resource officer who gets, whenever we have superhero fights, he always handles them. It's pretty funny.
Oh, really?
You know, when you put a lot of personalities like that together, it's hard to, you know, when there's one guy who tells you that he's the captain of orange soda and another guy who tells you he travels through time and they've all got tasers, you've got to be very careful how you deal with the situation.
Now, when you say you post a schedule, is that basically like, okay, there's an event happening here in Queen Anne. It's a... It's a fun, the band, the Fun Show. Don't worry about that place, but there's something going down here. Let's go here. Is it just spreading people out across the city? Is that?
No, it's sort of like, for example, say like Wednesday, 11:30, First and Pike. We need five guys, one camera, two tasers, pepper spray. Who's available?
All in a group.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, we'll patrol and we spread out different blocks with radios. Three guys will be unsuited. Two guys will be suited. The unsuited guys walk around and radio back to the suited guys where the crime is.
Mm-hmm.
They keep a video going of the incident. Then we show up and break the incident up. And then we give the video to the police.
Did you ever think about being, before you started all this, being one of those people that I see walking around downtown Seattle with like they have blue shirts or blue jackets on, and they do, they walk around and just tell people to like move it along. They're sitting outside businesses. I forget what they're called.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay.
Nah, maybe I never thought of it.
Maybe you guys have taken their place.
I don't know. It sounds kind of cool though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would it take, Phoenix, for you to stop doing this?
At this point, I really can't stop. I mean, I've already, all the things that would have stopped me from doing this have kind of already come and gone,
yeah.
And they were not by my choice. You know, like, I thought if I ever had the option to be unmasked or not unmasked, I would just retire before I got unmasked. But I didn't really have an option.
You got unmasked at the courthouse.
Yeah, I didn't really have an option there.
Well, you unmasked yourself.
Well, they were going to do it. They were going to release the court document saying I was acquitted of a crime, but they would have had to put my real name to acquit me. Okay. So it was hours before my name would have been public anyway. Okay. So I did it because I do things my way.
Yeah. Had to do it first, nip it in the bud, yeah.
Yeah, my way. Then, you know, I thought, well, maybe if I get really injured, I would stop. But my injuries came out public. And then people were saying, well, now he has to quit. And I thought, well, no, I don't. So everything that would have happened to make me quit would have kind of already transpired. And it transpired in a way where I couldn't quit because I would have just been letting people down. So now at this point, I don't really think there's a way for me to quit.
Right on, right on.
I don't think I can.
And what'd your family think about this? You have children, right?
Yeah.
A couple kids. A
couple guys, yeah. My little guy's awesome. He doesn't even, I've been Phoenix Jones his whole life. He doesn't really understand anything different. I mean, there's pictures of him and a baby watching me sew together the suit. I mean,
there's a great picture on your Facebook account. It's a little dude.
Yeah.
On top of you with like a Phoenix Jones airbrush shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my little guy.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's funny. All my pictures of my son on my Facebook, his face is missing.
Oh, his face is missing?
I always hide his face, like, either in the top of the border or, like, behind, like, spray paint and graffiti or something. It's because I don't want him to have to go to school and explain his dad being a superhero, you know?
Do you walk around the house ever as Phoenix Jones?
No. I get unchanged before I get back to my house. So that way the neighbors and things, you know. Some of them know anyway, but
yeah.
I just don't want to draw as much little attention to where my family lives as possible.
When you're walking around, what is general people's reaction? People start hooting and hollering
When I'm suited up?
Yeah, when you're suited
up. It's normally like high fives and stuff. The awkward part is when I'm not suited up and something happens and people expect me to do something. Like me and my wife were eating dinner in Capitol Hill.
Because they know your face?
Yeah.
People know your flat top mostly. The flat top, yeah.
But I'm eating dinner at Capitol Hill with my wife on the day after the May Day event when I didn't think there was going to be a riot.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy comes running by and throws something through the window of Bartels across the street. And I look at my wife, and I'm like, ugh. And everyone in the restaurant's staring at me. The waiter comes over, the waiter goes, do you need to leave? And I'm like, yes, I need to leave. And he's like, well, the meal's on us, man. Thanks. And I'm
really?
Like, all right. So I, like, walk outside, and I'm just, like, straight up fighting anarchists outside the building.
Not suited up?
No, I didn't have my, I had my bulletproof on, but I wear that most of the time anyway.
Oh, you have bulletproof on right now?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I came from the hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, but right. Normally I have my bulletproof on 90% of the time. I don't need my clothes.
I work over at the Five Point, and the bartender's like, I mentioned, I said, you guys know Phoenix Jones? She's like, yeah, I told everybody, if he ever comes in, either you're free or get a discount.
Five Point Cafe. I know where that is. I love that place.
Yeah, come on in, dude.
I do go in there. I just go in regular clothes. Sweet. No one ever knows.
I'll recognize.
Incognigro.
Incognigro. That's fucking awesome, man. What's in the future for Phoenix Jones? How do you plan on... expanding upon what you're doing, where on the web can people learn about you, donate to your charity, donate to you to help you get the gear that you need to do what you do?
Do www.thephoenixjones.com. What you can do is the most helpful thing there. There's a donate button, but the most helpful thing you can do there is Action Team. The Action Team is a group of people in Seattle who want to help me fight crime and are willing to go out in the middle of the night with me and hand out food to homeless people, hand out sleeping bags, hand out supplies. Last time we did it, we had like 100 people in the streets. We handed out like over 200 bags of supplies. All of them
just a gang of folks.
That was awesome. All of them had like
masks?
Socks. No, just regular clothes.
Okay.
All of them had socks, gloves, sleeping bags, ponchos, water supply. Like, it was awesome. And we hooked up everybody. For the next week, we were walking around downtown and everybody was rocking a poncho that had like a Phoenix Jones sticker on it. And I thought, man, this is awesome. So if that's how you can help me the most, really, is just getting involved with my Action Team.
And that's www what?
www.thephoenixjones.com. I'm also hooking J-Bo up with some Phoenix Jones stickers, so it's going to be super awesome. So if for some reason you know J-Bo or have a way of getting them from J-Bo, you totally need to do that because they're epic.
Someone explain. Oh, these are great. It says...
It's the band Quickie made this song, Phoenix Jones.
Oh, Quickie. Okay.
So they made these awesome stickers. They've got like a free music download on the back.
Oh, no shit.
So it's and there's like an actual like music video that goes
with it.
Tell
me about Quickie. Where are they from?
Dude, they're from Seattle. They're a local band. The guy Lou owns the band. It's pretty awesome. He makes really, really, really cool music. He made this Phoenix Jones song. He made this really cool motion comic book to go with it where I like punch all these bad guys and dial 911 and stuff. It's pretty awesome. If you haven't seen it, it's go on YouTube. It's just... Phoenix, this Quickie, Phoenix Jones, the song, or Phoenix Jones music video. Either one of those will come up. It's awesome.
You know, behind the scenes stuff, I was really interested when I first contacted you on Facebook about, you just hit me with a number. And it went to this guy down in L.A.
Yep.
Is this like your Your publicist, your booking agent? How does this work? Is it just somebody that handles your affairs?
Peter Tangen. Yeah, Peter's so funny. So what happened with Peter?
Oh, that's cool.
With me and Pete is Peter was the representative for like all Real Life Superheroes pretty much. He has a website called reallifesuperheroes.com. So when I first joined, all the other superheroes hated me because I would write stories about me really fighting crime, and they don't. So they didn't believe
me. What the hell do they do?
They walk around and hand out food, which is cool, just not you don't need a superhero suit for it. The reason I wear the suit is because it stops me from getting shanked. The reason they wear a suit is because they like it. So we don't really get along that well. It's kind of weird to me.
And Peter Tangent sought you out?
No, actually. I tried to get a hold of him to tell him that I wanted to be part of his website. He basically blew me off. He was like, no, man. He's like, you are crazy. He's like, you're going to get us all killed, man. He's like, these guys don't actually fight crime. These guys are accountants and like out of shape, middle-aged men.
You truly do seem fearless.
I don't know. I think that you don't have time to think about fear when you're jumping into the situation. It's after the situation that the fear starts.
Yeah.
But Tangen was all like, listen, you can't do this. He's like, these guys are middle-aged guys who are just out there living up a fantasy. You can't go actually fight crime. You're going to get people hurt. I said, you know, I'm going to fight crime. I said, I do crime. I stop crime all the time. He said, you don't fight crime. He says, you're exaggerating. I said, I'm not. I fight crime.
Yeah.
So he goes, well, here's my number. He goes, anytime you get an interview request or someone wants to talk to you about your fighting crime with his little hypothesis, feel free to give me a call. I said, you know what? I'm going to hold you to that. So every time I got stopped by the police or they wanted my phone number or I wanted
gave him
Peter Tangen's number. And I said, you can only call him after 1 a.m, though. So he's getting these calls all night from the police department. All the time. And finally he calls me and goes, listen, I believe you fight crime, but we got to talk about the way you do it. And that outfit you have is real stupid. So we started talking and he kind of hooked me up with different like Hollywood people who make outfits and stuff. And it got pretty awesome from that point on.
At that point, what kind of outfit were you rocking? Was that with the motorcycle helmet?
No, that was just the blue spandex. Have you seen the blue spandex outfit before?
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
Explain that.
I just look like Count Chocula, bro. I'm like in a straight...
Oh, did you have a cape?
Yeah, I had a blue outfit and just straight... blue spandex, straight cape, underwear over the top, and like a sock around my face. It was terrible. It was the worst thing ever, man.
It reminds me of Kick-Ass. I heard you loved that movie.
I loved Kick-Ass until he didn't...
Actually, I heard you hated it. But...
Well, I loved the concept.
I loved the movie. I thought that actor...
The kid does great.
He's one of my favorite actors. He also plays a young John Lennon in About a Boy, About a Son. I forget the name of it.
I haven't seen that movie.
Anyway, it's really good. He's really good. So tell me about Kick-Ass. What's your view on that
movie? I thought it was really, really cool. I just didn't understand why he didn't armor up. Like, after getting shanked once, you armor up immediately. I thought there was a lot of
things... But didn't he have, like... I guess they explained that because he didn't have any nerve endings. So
well, that doesn't mean you can't bleed to death and die. Like,
right.
I don't get it. You know?
Yeah. So not a fan then?
No, I'm a fan of the movie, but only as a movie, not as like a guide. Like people think that's what we do, and it's not. That's a movie fictionalized version of what we do.
Will you see Kick-Ass 2?
I actually, totally random, if you guys follow my Facebook.
Yeah.
I actually...
I think everybody is now.
Cinnabar up in Mount Lake Terrace is inviting me to the midnight showing. We're going to watch an 8-minute exclusive of me fighting some crime that no one's seen before. And then we're going to jump right into the Kick-Ass. So,
really? When does that movie come out?
I'll get you tickets. It's in like November or December or something like that.
Oh, dude, I would
love
to come.
But do you
want
to go? We're seeing it in regular clothes. We're seeing it the night before it opens. Just going to go screen it and check it out.
Yeah.
So I could bring like 10 of my buddies. I will totally.
I would love to go.
Yeah, you should totally come hook it up with me.
That'd be really rad. Well, I think, Phoenix, I think this is a pretty good place to jump off.
All right, cool.
With the interview. I'm going to play some music that I just have prepared here. And I think we've covered mostly everything, honestly. Like, I've just kind of run out of ideas. Unless you want, you can talk for as long as you want, dude.
No, man, I'm good. I guess the only thing I have to say is you guys out there, stay classy, eat all your vegetables. Be good people, man. If anything, if today's learned anything, if today's inspired anything, if you've ever thought about stepping up, you know, let's do it. Don't think about it, just do it. You know, if you see something that needs to be changed, change it. Be the change that you want to see in the world, man. You got to move forward.
And also, I think... a lot of people suffer from depression, anxiety.
Yeah.
I honestly think if you were to go out there and do some good in the world, like what you do, Phoenix, you'd feel better about your life, about everything. And that's right there. It's self-serving, but it's a good reason.
You know, there's no true altruism in the world because you feel good about helping others. So there's no way to do something without having some, in this world, in this line of work I do, without having some sort of payback happen to you. That just kind of comes with the game. So I don't know. You know, you got to respect it. But I appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate you guys coming out there. And if you want to help me, man, www.thephoenixjones.com. Sign in for the action team. Get involved. Let's go hand out some food together, man.
I definitely want to help. I might be on that crew, dude. And we're going to put this out as a podcast and a video
Sweet.
Within a couple weeks. So Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Gotta stay classy.
Yep.